Hi, welcome to the Wei and Kathy show. Today is October 25th. You'll be having me to be your host today. So I will bring you a feature story on how militia actually is moving into Texas border county to deter illegal immigration. So what exactly happened? So I'll help bring the story to you. And first of all, I will share with you a few headline news for today. So without further ado, let's take a look. So first of all, Fauci pushed back after new documents reveals actually NIH funded virus research in China. So what happened? The National Institute of Health, abbreviated as NIH, recently released documents showing that the agency funded a research that increased the function of a coronavirus and the MERS in China, according to the experts. The documents were sent to Congress last week. The head of the NIH, Dr. Francis Collins, and Dr. Anthony Fauci, who heads one of the institutes, told Congress earlier this year that the agency did not fund gain-of-function research, claiming they were not gain-of-function at all. Although Fauci shifted his defense on Sunday, saying that the experiments did not meet the definition of a gain-of-function research of concern. Critics said that the new documents were further proof Colin and Fauci misled the Congress. But Fauci, you know, tried to push back. So a key issue in the arguments revolves around how the parties define gain of function, a type of research that generally means increasing a biological agent's transmissibility or pathogenicity. And in the meanwhile, NIH used to have a detailed explanation of gain-of-function research on its website, noting that the term refers to any research that modifies a biological agent in a way that confers new or enhanced activity to that agent. So we can see on the old website, it does have the gain-of-function definition, but the explanation was wiped between October 19th and October 21st, which is last week, possibly ahead of NIH's most recent disclosures on October 20th about research it funded in China that increased the potency of a virus by modifying it. An NIH spokeswoman confirmed that the website was altered last week, around the same time the disclosure were made. Next, let's take a look at a former Air War College professor concealing contacts with Chinese officials plead guilty. Zhang Xiaoming, a former civilian professor at the Air War College on Maxwell Air Force Base in Montgomery, Alabama, plead guilty to making false statements to a federal agent, according to the Justice Department statement today. Zhang is a naturalized citizen of Chinese descent and started to teach at the Air War College since 2003. He developed a relationship with a known foreign official of the Shanghai Municipal Government, who attempted to use him to gain access to sensitive information in his possession, and trying to make connections through him with other individuals who might have valuable information. But Zhang lied to FBI and denied the relationship. He faces a maximum of 5 years in prison, as well as being required to give up any government employment, contracts, or security clearances. Next, let's take a look at San Francisco, where Kathy and Wei resides. The recall of San Francisco District Attorney Chesa Boudin likely to head to voters. San Francisco District Attorney Chesa Boudin is likely to face a recall election next year. The committee to recall beat the October 25th, which is today, the submission deadline. submitted approximately 83,000 signatures to the San Francisco Department of Election last Friday. It's roughly 32,000 more than required. So the recall is very likely to reach the voters as early as next June. Chesil Boudin, a former public defender, was elected in November 2019 as part of a wave of progressive prosecutors across the country who want to unwind tough on crime policies that have disproportionately impacted people of color, as they claim. But his policy of a soft on crime has backfired. Boudin has been criticized for alleged mismanagement of his office as well in the same time. So actually, this is the second recall effort attempting to remove Boudin from office. And a lot of people may not be aware of that. His parents was actually members of Weather Underground group, which was infamously did a bombing in the Washington, D.C., and his parents were both jailed. And his father was actually released on bail by President Biden just very recently. So if the signatures are certified, an election will be held next year as early as June, and the voters would be asked a simple question, yes or no, on whether to keep Boudin in office. If he's ousted, Mayor London Breed would choose a replacement. It is unclear if she will take a position on the recall. In the meanwhile, two prosecutors from the San Francisco District Attorney Office have resigned and are joining the effort to recall their former boss, Chesil Boudin. One of them is Brooke Jenkins, and the other is Dong Du Bang. They said that the reason is because Boudin, quote, has a radical approach that involves not charging crime in the first place and simply releasing individuals with no rehabilitation and putting them in position where they are simply more likely to offend, end quote. They also claim that Boudin disregards the law that he doesn't like, and disregard the court decisions that he doesn't like to impose his own version of what he believes is just. Since Chesil Boudin took over the role of the district attorney in January of last year, at least 50 attorneys have left the department, either being fired or quit. Let's take a look at New York. The New York Police Department, the largest police department union in the city, which is called the New York Police Benevolent Association, today filed a lawsuit to block a citywide COVID-19 vaccine mandate that is slated to go into effect by October 29th, end of this month. It also filed a request for a temporary restraining order to stop the city and the NYPD from implementing the vaccine requirement while litigation is pending. City workers, including NYPD officers who do not get vaccinated before October 29th deadline, will be placed on unpaid leave and face termination from their jobs, according to mayor's order. Then let's turn to Florida. What's Florida Governor Ron DeSantis doing? He announced that he is now actively working to recruit out-of-state police officers who have been fired or placed on unpaid leave due to their city's vaccination mandate. He said he will seek to create legislation that will reward a $5,000 bonus to such police officers who relocate to the Sunshine State. He called on police officers in NYPD, Minneapolis, and Seattle to move to Florida and promised to treat them much better. Finally, let's turn to Texas, the border. The Biden administration refused Governor Greg Abbott's appeal that the federal government reimburse Texas for millions of dollars spent responding to the migration crisis at the southern border. It was Texas governor's second request. The governor in September sent the first letter urging the federal government to honor Texas's disaster status and pay for the higher than normal state and the local operations on the basis that the border security is a federal responsibility. Governor Abbott said that he has sent thousands of National Guard members and the state police to the border since Operation Lone Star, a program that he initiated, has launched in March. But the federal administration rejected his first claim. Governor Abbott appealed, and the decision appealed this decision early this month. But the Federal Emergency Management Agency again denied the request to approve Texas' emergency declaration. Texas officials are bracing for a possible rush of more than 60,000 Haitian migrants just weeks after thousands of Haitians arrived in the border town of Dalrio in Texas. So that leads to our feature story of today. So the border situation actually is so dire that they ask for malicious help. So what exactly happened? Let's move on to a safe chat for those who are still on YouTube channel. What's the broader situation here? According to the new Customs and Border Protection CPB statistics, Border Patrol agents apprehended a total of, over 1.6 million illegal immigrants along the southwest border in fiscal 2021. Breaking all the records since the agency was formed in 1925. So almost 1.7 million illegal immigrants. But that doesn't include those who were stopped after trying to enter at a port of entry without legal paper. That amount is almost about 300,000. So that brings the total to almost 2 million illegal immigrants. And that even doesn't include another category, which they call the gotaways. That means illegal aliens who are detected by the Border Patrol, but they evade capture. So that amount is about 400,000. So total, it's about 2.4 million illegals just during this fiscal year, which has not ended yet, right? We are, still in October. So today's story, we bring you to a rural county in Texas. It's called Kinney County. It's where the Brackettville sits. This county shares only 16 miles of the international border with Mexico, but it sits between Dalrio and the Eagle Pass, the two major illegal border crossing area in Texas. So this county has become a major thoroughfare for illegal immigrants trying to avoid law enforcement. The residents, mostly the ranchers in this county, have been going through the threats from the illegal crossers. The Kinney County Sheriff has 6 full-time deputies. They try to cover the total over 1,300 square miles. And it's just an insurmountable ratio. The Texas Department of Public Safety, DPS, has had an impact catching smugglers on the roads and illegal aliens on ranches, but still they are outnumbered. So here comes Samuel Hall, who is the founder and the president of a militant group, Patriots for America. He got a call to help and decided to take the action to help the ranchers in Kinney County. So exactly how dire the situation for the ranchers there in the Kinney County, and why they need militia to help? What and how does the militia plan to operate over there? And why Samuel Hall calls it a historical event? I did an interview with him last week to learn all about that. So without further ado, let's dive in. So first of all, I just asked Samuel, why did you come to that, you know, the Kinney County to support and help?
PFA, Patriots for America Militia, we're here to defend this county. The National Guard was sent to Maverick County. They were sent to Uvalde County. Kinney County was left out. They have no protection here. Zero. They have the DPS. The ground units are doing as much job as they can, but the county only has a certain amount of beds. And so the cartel knows this, and they're exploiting the border here in Kinney County. And so what they're doing is they're pouring through Kinney because they know that there's no National Guard presence. And so they're exploiting the poorest border here. So we decided, Kinney County needed the most help. I talked to Sheriff Coe. I've spoken with the judge, the county attorney. I've had multiple conversations with the sheriff, and you know, this town needs help bad. These residents are scared to death. And so, PFA, being a Texas militia, what we're most well known for is our mission to rescue children from sex trafficking. But this county needed help, and PFA answered the call.
So how bad is the situation in that border county?
All these border counties are very important, but they're all being exploited. There's danger on all of it, right? Cartel is very powerful. They're very well funded, much like a military. And they don't have a soul. So they're doing terrible things. We were in an area yesterday. It was right on the river. You know, literally right across the street is Mexico. And over the hills, cartel was watching us in their armored vehicles. We could see them watching us through their binoculars. We were watching them as well. But one of the landowners told us that they'd come across the river. They broke into a 73-year-old woman's house. And they beat and raped her. She lived, but she spent a good 2 months in the hospital. This was only about 2.5 months ago. And so, thank God she lived. But I can't imagine the trauma that she's going to have to live with for the rest of her life for that. And there's been dead bodies found in town. Luckily, they weren't residents. But just intimidation. You know, you have just a quagmire of, a lot of moving parts. You have the cartel. You have DPS. The county doesn't have enough room to take anybody in. Uvalde County won't take anybody. So they don't have the infrastructure to support this kind of operation. That's why we made history in this county. I made a speech at the commissioner's court with the judge and the commissioners. And for the first time, we were told in over 100 years, I haven't fact checked that, 157 years, that's what we were told, that a sheriff has deputized militia to go ahead and help defend this county and this state. And so they opened up 10 positions. Now, that takes time. You know, it's not like they just drop the gavel and 10 citizens go up and get sworn in. That's not how it happens. And so they got to drop legal paperwork. This process hasn't been done for I don't know how many years. And so they don't really have a process in place for that. So the county attorney's got to drop the legal paperwork and everything that's involved in that. And then, you know, I don't know when it's going to happen, a week, 2 weeks, whenever the sheriff decides, we'll go ahead and you know, get deputized and go from there.
So according to the census, Kinney County has about 3,600 population. But so what's the life like over there?
I mean, you have a gas station, a couple very small, little places you can eat, and that's it. I mean, there's nothing here. I mean, it's just a town, but it's a town that needs help. It's a town that needs help. And so there's not a big booming economy here. It's not like that. You know, what's crazy is the gas station, you know, we all go there, but coyotes, they go there. Cartel goes there. We all get our supplies and we all know who we are. I walk in, they nod at me and I nod at them. We both know who each other are. And then they go do what they do and we try to stop them. It is weird. But that's the environment. That's what we're doing. So, you know, we're all in the same place. Cartel, militia, DPS, and county, all at the same place at the same time, all know who each other are. And then they go their way, we go ours, and then thus ensues the game of cat and mouse. It's like a scene out of a damn movie. Anyway.
Yeah, when you describe it, really makes me feel like kind of a Wild West movie.
Yeah, I've never seen nothing like it in my life. I'm 40 years old. Never seen nothing like that in my life. You know, this whole place, this whole county, this whole border, not just in this county, but other counties. If something's not done, I'm telling you, especially with this Haitian caravan coming, it's just a matter of time. I don't feel like it's an if, but a when situation that this explodes. And PFA just has to make sure that we are not the cause of that. But we are going to be here to protect the citizens when it happens. What we believe is we serve a God of impossible situations. You know, we believe that the God in us is bigger than the giant in front of us. And that is a big giant. That's a big old giant.
So how are the reactions from the residents, the ranchers over there, to the militia coming to help?
We have a lot of support from residents. We have a lot of support from patriots, Texans, my brothers and sisters that are back home. They're rallying. They're raising funds. They're raising supplies. We have a tremendous network of people that, especially when this started getting national attention, you know, again, patriots. I mean, these are salt of the earth people. These are not the people that the left will tell you and demonize us and try to make us look like supremacist or right wing, whatever. These are people that will bend over backwards for you and not even know you. These are people that, as I speak right now, we have a man that has opened up his home, given us the keys to his car, whatever we've needed. And he didn't know us for 3 days, you know, for 3 days when we first got here. But he knew we needed help. I can't tell you. I cannot tell you how patriots take care of patriots and how Texans take care of Texans. I don't know how they do it in California. Texans is a different culture. Texans take care of Texas. We love our state. And we know that this state is the bedrock of this whole country. And if we lose Texas, we're not going to have a nation. We're not going to have America. Our kids aren't going to grow up in the same nation, in the same America that we grew up in. This is a history-making event. And we know God is with us. We know the angels are on our side. And we appreciate everybody's prayers that have been praying for us and helping us.
So, as Samuel mentioned, and according to the record, the county has only just 6 full-time deputies to cover over 1,300 square miles. So, is that the county always kind of short of manpower to deter the inflow of the illegal immigrants, or it's just happened recently?
Well, they've always had a flow of immigrants coming in over the border. But this administration in Washington, this administration is exacerbating that issue times a million, right? And so under President Trump, you know, we had a very secure border, but we had a lot of support from the federal government to do so. Under this Biden administration, it's about as bad as it gets. You know, they're not just coming in by, you know, the thousands. You know, now we have an 80,000 or up to 80,000 Haitians coming. They're supposed to be here. The ETA we're looking at about 2 weeks. They got held up in Panama. But the rhetoric is what's concerning. They're talking about if they don't get let into the United States, then it's going to be a war. Well, the residents in this county, in other neighboring counties as well, I'm sure they're not just going to come through one place. They're probably going to spread it out, if I had to guess. Everybody's pretty nervous about that rhetoric. And so everybody's preparing. We don't know what it's going to look like or exactly where they're going to hit. But we're going to be prepared to protect this county and these citizens. This is Texas. I know that you're in California. I know Texas is a much different culture. But Texans take care of Texas. We take care of our own. And if the federal government and the state government's not going to do it, then citizens are going to stand up. Militia is going to stand up, as we're doing. And this is garnering national attention. I'm getting emails from all over the nation, from men that are wanting to volunteer, come down. I even got an email from Canada yesterday. So it's, you know, God is moving. God is moving. We're acting in faith. We stepped out in faith to come down here. PFA was the first militia down here. And let me tell you, the citizens of this county are overwhelmingly grateful that they finally have help. They finally have help because they do desperately need it. And they're bending over backwards to support us, to give us what we need, housing, food, supplies, you name it.
So have Sam ever thought about that militia would take an important role in the border crisis?
The militia shouldn't take an important role in the border situation right now. The government should take an important role and protect the citizens of this state. However, when the government abandons you and says that you're not worth it because you don't have enough value in an election to help us out, and they send National Guard everywhere but Kinney County, the only thing to do in Texas, I don't know about other states, not sure how it works. I'm sure it's very similar. But at some point, militia is going to stand up and have to stand in the gap for these people. They're going to have to stand in the gap and protect our own, because the government's not doing it. The government's not doing it. There's no help here. There's no help. There's not National Guard. We have very little DPS that's actually able to do something. The county government in this county, they have 6 deputies to cover 1,357 acres in this county. And so they don't have the manpower, support, or infrastructure to combat this problem. And it's a huge problem, and the cartel is exploiting it exponentially. And so it's really, until you get down here and see it, it's something that's hard to put into words. The people of this county are scared. You know, the other, I guess it was probably Sunday. You know, we hadn't had a shower in about 4 days. We were sleeping on cots. But the residents, being just the gracious salt-of-the-earth people that they are here, really, truly, lady opened up her home so we could take a shower. And I know that sounds like a simple thing, but when you haven't had a shower in 4 days, it sure means a lot. But she left as we were leaving, and we were asking her, you know, while she was leaving her home, she said that she's too scared. She can't stay in her own home alone. And this is her own home. But she can't stay in her own home alone because of all the people that are coming across. They're damaging her property. They're breaking into houses. They're raping people. They're intimidating people. They're stealing. I mean, you name it. It's literally, it's hard to put into words. The Wild West. That's the only way I could put it. I mean, another lady, after I spoke at Commissioner's Court, she came up to me and she said her children have not been able to play outside in a year and a half. Now, I don't know if you have kids. I don't know if you have children. But that's no way for children to be raised, to be so fearful that you can't go outside and play, because who knows what could happen. That's why we're here. That's what we're doing. We're making a difference for these people so they can live a normal life, or at least a semblance of a normal life. They haven't had any protection or help, and by God, we're going to give it to them.
So what exactly you and your group is doing over there to protect them?
Yeah, good question. So we're working with the Sheriff's Department. Now, here's the deal. As a militia, there's a lot of, I mean, this is such a high intensity political climate here. It takes one person making one mistake and the whole thing blows up. A lot of ranchers are worried. A lot of elected officials are worried. And so, you know, you think about militia, you think about guys with guns and, you know, running around being vigilantes. Well, that's not PFA. PFA is a very professional organization. You know, PFA does it right. We don't beat our chest. We're not here to hurt anybody. We're not here to cause any problems. We don't want to get hurt either. What we're here to do is help this county and be a deterrent on the border, so when people are crossing and they can see us or we can see them, maybe they'll change their minds. And if they still decide to come across, well, we can disrupt and frustrate until the county can get there, and then the county can make the arrest. If they have guns or drugs, we can call DPS. Other than that, if they don't have drugs, DPS can be of no help. They will not take them. If the county takes them and there's not enough beds, it's what they call catch and release. It's all they can do. It's what this Biden administration has engineered to weaken this state. And so they're given money, they're given a bus ticket, and welcome to America. And that's the way it is right now. It is a big, big problem.
So, Samuel, why and how he started the PFA, the Patriots for American?
I mean, I've been in activism for about 21 years. You know, I did missions work. I went to Christ for the Nations Bible College 21 years ago and spent some time in Uganda and Kenya, Africa. You know, from there, I saw the very active slave trade that was going on in Uganda at that time. And that's what led me, that's what birthed the passion in me to combat human trafficking. You know, in 2016, you know, well, really during the Obama administration, we saw ISIS running rampant, major high-intensity political environment in the 2016 election. A lot of people were leaving Trump rallies, you know, getting beat up, getting hurt, getting chased down. We wanted to make sure that people could just be safe. You know, PFA does not beat our chest. You know, we're a very diverse militia. We don't see color. We see content of character. We don't care, you know, what race or gender you are. You know, what we care about is that you love this country, that you support our Constitution, and that you understand that we bleed red, white, and blue, and that's the only colors that we see. And so we wanted to protect people. And so community defense was what we started on. And then, you know, that was just some guys from the church. And then, you know, we put a name on it when 2020 came around. And we launched our mission to combat child sex trafficking. And then from there, partnered with Treasured Vessels Foundation. They have a campus here in Collin County, Texas, where we house and care for girls that come out of sex trafficking, provide food and medical and dental professional counseling. Also, Answer International is our other partner. That's Matt Shelton. And so they've rescued now over 5,000 kids in 54 countries since 2004. And so we got involved in that space and have rapid response teams that go and help assist law enforcement in rescuing children. And so because of that that mission that we have, I think most of the interviews I have, obviously that's not what we're doing here, although it is simultaneously, because when we're taking and rescuing these kids that are coming across the border, there was 14 men literally yesterday crossing the border, got caught with one little girl. One little girl, 14 men. Now, they did get caught. She's safe. But I'm not sure what happened to that little girl, and I don't want to think about it. But we're doing the same thing down here, just in a different way. And God is good. God is protecting us, and we feel like we have divine protection and favor and a lot of prayers from just I don't know how many prayer warriors. And we appreciate that and are forever grateful.
So Sam is very familiar with the child sex trafficking. So how serious in this aspect at the border right now?
The United States is number two in the whole world for sex trafficking, for child sex trafficking. Dallas has now become the number one city in the United States. And so this was a pre-Biden situation. I'm sure that number's grown. But before the Biden administration, there was 400 underage girls a night being trafficked just in Dallas, only in Dallas, not surrounding cities. 400 underage girls a night are being trafficked. Let me put that into perspective. There is less than a few hundred beds in Texas. for women that come out of sex trafficking, rescued or otherwise, to have a place to stay, to eat, to be taken care of. That's the whole state of Texas. So there's not infrastructure for that either. So when these girls come out, they don't have anywhere to go. Houston is the number two city in the United States. It's a corridor city. It being this close in proximity to the border, it's a huge, huge deal. It's a big problem. You know, yes, they're coming across the street. I don't know if you found this or if you've read about this, but the Biden administration just got caught with the, you know, flying children and teenagers under the cover of night, tried to keep it a secret, to New York. Children and teenagers. These are unaccompanied minors. A lot of them are getting lost in the system. They don't know where they're at. You know, they put them in homes here and organizations there, but again, they don't know where they're at. They don't know what's going on. So yeah, it's a trafficker's dream down here on the border. It's a trafficker's dream. And the cartel knows it. The traffickers know it, and we know it. And we don't have the manpower that we need to combat it. And that's why, you know, if I could issue a call, we need the right quality men that can come down here, spend a week, 2 weeks, rotate out and come back. You know, the sheriff said that this is going to be about a 3-year mission. 3 years. You might ask yourself, well, why 3 years, Sam? Well, because that's about how long Biden's got left in office before he can hopefully vote his communist butt out. And so, and yes, I said communist, and I believe that. And so, you know, 3 years, we got to put up with this, or as long as this administration is in this in office. And so we're gonna be here. We're going to put one foot in front of the other, and we're going to let God be God, and we're going to have faith that he's going to provide.
So Samuel mentioned communist. So how do you view the communist impact on this country?
I mean, look at what's going on. I mean, the Nuremberg Code, the Nuremberg trials, laws, whatever you want to call it, are out the door. They're shredding our Constitution right in front of our face. They're trying to take away and already have taken away First Amendment rights, censoring. You can't even tell the truth if it doesn't fit the left narrative. You get blocked, banned, censored, accounts taken down. People like Pastor Greg Locke, a patriot, a pastor, a man that stood up against tyranny, is now on Nancy Pelosi's number one hit list for the January 6th. Riots, right? Oh, the left, they love to just, they love that narrative, don't they? And this man has done nothing wrong. I've shared the stage with Pastor Greg Locke at speaking events around the state. He's a godly man. He's a patriot. Then the vaccine. You got people losing their jobs, livelihoods, being told they're going to be fired if they don't get a shot. That smells like communism. That's not a free America. You know, I believe in freedom of choice. You know, if you, and by freedom of choice, I don't mean I'm pro-choice. I'm pro-life when it comes to that, buddy. Let me be very clear. But I mean freedom of choice when it comes to medical freedom. Medical freedom. You know, if you get the vaccine, then that's your choice. I personally am highly against it. But the fact that they're forcing it, that people are losing their jobs, that companies of over 100 employees are being forced to vaccinate or their employees, or then they get fired. They get fired. You know, these people have been employed, a lot of them, for 20, 25 years. They're close to retirement. Now, what are they going to do? Are they going to take the jab? Are they going to lose their lives and their livelihood? That's not choice. That's not freedom. So when I talk about this administration being communistic, these are some examples, just a few. But yes, the censorship, the push to get a vaccine with all the data and information that's coming out on how dangerous it is, that's not freedom.
So why did Samuel decide to step up and speak out?
You know, Thomas Paine said this, If there's going to be trouble, let it be in my time, so my children may have peace. We have an obligation to our future generations, an obligation. We were raised in an America that's quickly being eroded. Hyperinflation, you know, people losing jobs over vaccines, our borders wide open, we're being invaded. And that's less than a year. Can you imagine what's coming? If we don't stand up for our future generations, we're not going to have an America. Our children will not have an America. Our forefathers who died and gave their lives for this country would be rolling over in their grave if we did not do something to save this nation. And it starts with Texas. You know, you say fear. I tell my men this, you know, courage. Courage isn't acting in the absence of fear. It's acting in the face of fear. You know, people get scared. If you weren't scared in this situation down here, let me tell you, there's something wrong with you, because it does get scary. I mean, we've been on the border, multiple ops every single day, been in very dangerous situations, face to face with cartel. That's scary. But our children are worth it. Our state is worth it, and our country's worth it. And there's too many people that died and gave their lives for this nation for us to sit back and do nothing. So we will look fear in the face and say we live in faith, not fear. We're going to keep putting one step in front of the other, and we're going to do what God called us to do down here in Kinney County. And that's it.
So that's Samuel Hall, the founder and president of PFA, Patriots for America. So finally, Sam said that he would like our audience to keep them in the prayer, and also they need support. So if for anyone who would like to support him, they have a Cash App, or you can email to Samuel's email, which we will put it on the screen. So, how do you think of what Samuel just shared? Please leave your comment over there. And as we can see, Samuel and his team is doing what they think they can help. So, all right, that's all for today. Thank you for being with our show again. And take care. See you on Wednesday. Bye-bye.